But in the book of Daniel this morning, I want you to look at it. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read. I want to read the whole first chapter. But let me just read just a verse or two, and you understand some of what's going on. The Lord has judged the nation of Israel. They were brought into the promised land, and He told them, if you'll be faithful to me, love me, keep my commandments, I'll bless you, I'll protect you, I'll feed you. But they had not been in the kingdom very long. And of course, as Saul was the first king, and then David, and then Solomon. And then after the reign of Solomon, the kingdom divided. There was a conflict. And so the 10 tribes to the north just left the reign of the Davidic line. And then Judah and Benjamin, the tribes to the south, they had their king. And the king to the north, the king that was there, Jeroboam, and he became a wicked king. He told them it was too much for them to go back to Jerusalem to worship the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he made them a convenient religion that required them not to have to go back. A lot of other things, and in the meantime, idolatry entered in and everything else. The people went away from God. God sent prophet after prophet to preach to the northern kingdom to warn them that if they didn't repent and get right with God, that judgment would come, and they did not. They would not repent. And God sent the Assyrian army and took captive those 10 tribes to the north. The two tribes to the south had remained faithful somewhat, but they too were falling right behind the northern kingdom. And they had gone into idolatry and everything else, turned their back on God, rejected the preaching of the prophets, and killed the prophets even. And God told them that judgment's coming. And so not many years after the northern kingdom fell, the Babylonians came and they took captive the southern kingdom. And one of their things that they did in conquering nations was, of course, they would kill and annihilate millions of people. But they would take captive those that were more intelligent, more, better looking and strong and healthy. And they would take them captive back into their kingdom, back into Babylon. And then they would interpose or bring in other peoples they'd conquered from other people, from other nations, other races, and move them into that Aryan community with the idea of destroying the nationalism of the nation of Israel. And so they did that. But those that they took into captivity, they wanted to train to be part of the Babylonian culture. And when you come to the book of Daniel, that's where we are. They have been taken captive, and it begins by telling us that Nebuchadnezzar came down to Jerusalem, besieged the city, and he conquered the city. And they took, they killed many. They took many into captivity. And they took all the vessels out of the temple, the gold vessels that were used to worship God, took them and put them in the temple of their God back in Babylon. And so you pick up the story with some young men there. And we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three there that also have Hebrew names. And then one by the name of Daniel. Daniel was a prisoner. And in chapter 1, we meet these men. And here was the intent. They brought the most educated, the most intelligent, the most best physique and strong and healthy. And their intent was to feed them a king's diet. When it says food from the king's table, it meant going to give them the best. I mean, they were going to be eating the best food that was possible to be had. And the meat and the wine. And they were going to feed that to them for 3 years and then bring them back in before the king. Well, Daniel, being a Hebrew, a worship of Jehovah God, makes some commitments. And notice what it said, if you will, please, beginning at verse number 8. For sake of time, I'll read there. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see you, your faces worse likened than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endangered my head to the king. Then said Daniel unto Mazar, who the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water. Pulse is basically vegetables. He said, all we want to eat is vegetables and water for 10 days, not the 3 years, just give us 10 days and then look. And so that's exactly what happened. And so they did that. But then notice what it says, that when they had finished that, notice in verse 18, now at the end of the days that the king had said to bring them into the princes, the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all were found, by the way, I skipped over the part where they come back after 10 days and they are 10 times better. But he brings them back in, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 19, therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers and were in his realm. And Daniel continued even into the first year of Cyrus. Cyrus is the king that ultimately will rid them of the Babylonian captivity and allow the Jews to go back in their homeland. But after that period of time, 3 years, they were 10 times better. Their intellect, their everything, and they had been eating that diet. God bless Daniel. There's some wonderful things about this book and about the story of Daniel that you see as you go through here. And when you follow this, you notice this thing about his diet. But then if you go a little bit further, you'll find that the king has a dream and he calls in all of his spiritual advisors to interpret the dream. But here's the catch. He doesn't remember what the dream was. And so they come in and they begin to talk and he says, I want you to interpret this dream. They said, well, tell us the dream. And he said, I don't know what it is. I don't remember it. So you've got to know what the dream was and then tell me what it means. And they couldn't do it. And he determined to kill every one of them. And then somebody said, well, Daniel, let's bring in Daniel. He's unique, he's special. And he brought Daniel in, and Daniel asked for permission to do something. He asked for permission to go back, and the Bible says he went back, and in chapter 2, verse 28, and they went back and they prayed and asked God to show him the dream. And so at the end of that time, the prayer, he comes back, he tells the king the dream, what it was. And it was a dream of this great figure that I'm going to deal with in some detail as we go through. But it's a history of that area and of kingdoms of the world, actually. God showed it to him. Daniel gave it to him. And he, as he began to say that, he says this to him, that in regard to that, there's a God in heaven, chapter 2, verse 28. But he said, man can't do this, but God can. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to thee, King Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision, the head upon thy bed was this. And then he goes on and tells him. And Daniel doesn't take any credit for it all. He said, God showed me this. I couldn't do it. Your astrologers couldn't do it. Your wizards couldn't do it. But there's a God in heaven who could show that. Well, he elevates Daniel to a place of rule. And then as you go on through the next few chapters, you'll find that there's a king that comes, the second king after Nebuchadnezzar is his son. And when he comes to the throne, he basically has demoted Daniel. He's no longer in prime leadership anymore, but he has a dream as well. And he sees a vision And they call for Daniel. And then Daniel tells him what the handwriting on the wall was all about, and I'll deal with all of that. But he falls in out of grace with him, and then you know the story. He throws Daniel into a den of lions, and there he survives all night long. And he goes in and he calls out to him and he answers him and he brings him out. And then once again, he elevates Daniel, this time to the third of all the rulers in the nation of Babylon. God did all those things for Daniel. But I want to pick out three verses this morning that tell me something about Daniel. Was Daniel just naturally gifted? Was he more intellectual? Was his brain larger than anybody else's? I don't think so. I think God had him there for a purpose, and God chose to use him, much like Samson. Samson wasn't a big hulk of a man, but he had the power of God on him. And Daniel was chosen by God for a particular ministry, to be there in the captivity and then beyond the captivity and then to prophesy great things that we'll study as we go through the book of Daniel. But what was it unique about Daniel? If he were in this building, he would not be any different than any man in this building, and all of us would be the same. But there were some things about Daniel that made a difference. And it's those three things, just quickly this morning, I want to challenge you with the first Sunday of the new year, be more faithful in the coming year. What was it that made Daniel unique? Go back to chapter 1, and let me read the very first verse I read to you before. Notice in verse number 8 of chapter 1, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank." He purposed heart. Number one was purpose of heart. What makes you different than other people? Number one, you have to know the Lord. We understand that. He believed in God and knew God, but he purposed in his heart. It was not something he came up with in his mind. It was in his heart. He was living out his conviction. He was going to not defile himself with the king's portion of food. It was a heart decision. He purposed it. Mama used to talk to me about things. Something would get broken around the house. Something would mess up or something would happen. And I was a guilty party. And I'd tell her it was an accident. Mama used to say this, "You did it on purpose. You did it on purpose." And Daniel did it on purpose. I want to challenge you in this coming year to do some things on purpose. Not just to say, "I'm going to do it." That's why we don't lose weight, because we got it in our mind. Don Hare used to say, "My mind makes commitments that my body can't keep." And my dear friend, if you make commitments of a spiritual nature, any other nature, without the spiritual aspect of it, it has to be a heart decision. He purposed in his heart. And I can't live for God. You can't live for God in 2024. But if we would purpose in our heart to live for God, if we would make up our mind that we're not going to be the same we were last year, we're not going to be like everybody else, we're going to make a heart decision this morning to do it on purpose. We're going to come to church on purpose. We have to be here. We just feel like we made a commitment to God. We're going to be as faithful to the house of God as we possibly can, or wherever God has for us to be on the Lord's day. We're going to purpose it. We're going to just make it a priority. It's not a take it or leave it deal. It's not a if nothing happens deal. I remember my pastor 100 years ago, seems like now, telling about this young man that so loved the teenagers. They were teenagers. They were in love. And he spent about an hour on the phone telling her how much he loved her, that he'd swim the river for her and he'd climb the mountain for her and he'd do all these things for her. And he finished his conversation like this: "If it doesn't rain, I'll see you tonight." And, you know, that's the way we are about church sometimes. We're going to be at church if nobody comes, and we kind of halfway hope somebody does come. And if we don't feel bad, another young young uns are sick, but we kind of, in a halfway way, it doesn't really bother us if they don't feel good on Sunday morning. We can stay at the house and watch it online or listen to it or whatever. But you need to purpose in your heart. This is a heart commitment. I'm going to say before God this morning, I'm going to live for God in 2024. I'm going to do it on purpose. This is what God wants me to do. The Bible said that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God saved you on purpose. He has a plan for you out of His purpose, and it's going to happen. You need to be faithful to your commitment, but it's got to not be in your head. It's got to be in your heart. And so this morning, I'm asking you to pray and say, oh, God, put it in my heart. I want to be faithful to the house of God. I want to be faithful. Now, some of you can sing. I hear you singing on the bus when we're traveling, and other times you're around singing. And I know you can sing. We ought to have this choir loft filled every Sunday. We've got the trees up there because Taylor's getting married, and she wants to use them in her wedding on the 20th, and the church is invited to the wedding. But so we're going to leave those up there. But we can put 70, I believe it is, Brad, in that choir. I believe that's what the architectural design calls for. 70 people. We didn't have 70 this morning, but out there, there's 70. And you say, Brother Billy, I can't sing. You just get up there and let her fly. I believe God will use you. But you have to purpose to do it. Yeah, you have to come to choir practice on Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock so you know what you're going to sing and so you can practice. But you got to do it on purpose. You've got to get up and come to Sunday school on purpose. On purpose. I'm going to do it, not just, you know, if I feel like it, this is what I do. You can't keep a job if you don't have a purpose in heart to do it. You don't, there's days you don't feel like going to work, days you don't feel like going to school, but you do it anyway because you've purposed in your heart. You've got to do that. And that's the way of being around the house of God ought to be. I just got to be around the house of God. If you're out of town, visit a church, go to a friend, have church at home, have at wherever you are. But just take the Lord's Day, a portion of the Lord's Day, to worship the Lord. He had purpose of heart. But let me show you another verse that I ran across as I was reading through the book of Daniel. Turn over to chapter number 6. Look at chapter number 6 and verse number 4. Our challenge to you this month is to be faithful. Notice what it says in verse here. Daniel has been exalted, and he has a lot of other people who've been elevated, but they made him to be the leader over all of these divisions of that. He's got princes and presidents and all that, but Daniel's going to be the head of all of that. And notice what it said in verse number 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Not only did he have purpose of heart, but he was faithful. He was faithful. He was faithful to the king. He was faithful to his responsibility. He was faithful. I was preaching the other night, and I was talking about faithfulness. Paul was faithful, and it means full of faith. His faith molded his life. You live what you believe. If you're faithful, you'll be faithful to the house of God. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You ought to be faithful to the Lord. Faithful, trust with all that you have, be faithful to Him, your commitment. In the book of Revelation, we see the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. And the Bible says that on His thigh and on His vesture was written this word, faithful. Jesus is faithful. Hickory Grove sings a song, a faithful friend. The Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to you. 24/7, He's always there. 24/7, He's always the same. 24/7, He loves you. 24/7, He cares for you. He's always faithful. And I challenge you, Daniel was faithful. Doesn't matter what he's doing, he was faithful. You need to be faithful on your job. You're not working there just to get a check. You're not working there just to please that your boss man or whoever. You're working there to please the Lord. Whatsoever your hands find to do it with all your might as unto the Lord. You ought to be faithful to God. You ought to be the very best employee your company has. I mean, do your best, be faithful, be on time. Don't find a way to not to work. You need to find a way to be faithful. Do above what you're asked to do, be faithful. Your testimony in life will make a difference. If you're faithful there, you'll be faithful to your family, faithful to your wife, faithful to your children, faithful to your friends. Be faithful to the Lord. Daniel was faithful. I want to hurry on and go to chapter 6. Look down a little bit further, if you will, please, and look at verse number 23. In chapter 6 and verse number 23, listen to what it says. There's a long scenario, a long great story there that happens after that. That's when he comes to occasion where he has to be thrown in the lion's den, but God delivers him. But now notice this. Here's what the king had to say, verse 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and he commanded they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Look at this last phrase. Because he believed in his God. What made Daniel different? He had a purpose of heart. Daniel was faithful in every realm of his life. He was faithful. You could trust him. There was no fault in him. But then here's the key to the whole thing, that he believed in his God. You know what? Daniel believed God. Regardless of what the news says, regardless of what circumstance says, regardless of what your mind says about what's going on in the world, I'm going to tell you right now, you can believe God. You can believe about what He said about saving you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That verse in the book of Acts, he said that to the Philippian jailer. Listen, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not in Him. You may believe in the Bible. You say, I believe that's the Bible. You may believe there's a Christ in heaven. You may believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again. You may believe He's already at the right hand of the Father. You may believe that. But He said, He emphasized this, I believe the Holy Ghost God did, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's not just believing in His existence, but it's trusting Him with your eternal destiny. You believe what He did for you. You believe that He suffered and bled and died for you. You believe Him. And then as a Christian, you believe in Him. You believe that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you're able to ask or think. You believe He won't ever leave you or forsake you. You believe that He's going to take care of you regardless of what it looks like. God's on the throne. Good times, bad times, sickness. We got so much sickness. I was talking to friends over here. They hadn't even had Christmas yet. They were all sick. Rob Langdon and his family came down from up New York and got down to Charlotte, and they all got COVID. They hadn't even been up to spend time with Jan and Robert or anybody this way yet. They at Christmas. But my dear friend, things happen. But we're going to believe God. Believe Him in the good times. When Daniel was elevated up to be high in the kingdom of the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar the first time, he believed God. He just had faith in God. He trusted Him. And then when he was in that lion's den, what delivered him? It was the fact that he believed God. I don't know. I've heard people talk about what that scene must have been like. They were real lions because in the next few verses, you'll see that he takes all those accusers of Daniel and throw them and their family and their children into the den of lions, and they are all destroyed. I don't know what it was like. Old Maze Jackson used to say that they dropped Daniel down in there and those lions just froze and looked at him. They laid down like little kitty cats. He picked out a big fluffy one, went over there and rubbed his mane down, turned around and laid his head back, and he slept all night long with his head resting on a lion, and it didn't even lick him all night long. God, I don't know what it was like, but I do know this. In the worst scenario of your life, God won't ever forsake you. He'll be there with you. And the Bible said that he believed God. What's going to make the difference in your life in 2024? It is your purpose of heart. I'm going to do this. I'm not just not my head, but in my heart, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be more faithful to the house of God. I'm going to be more faithful to read the Word of God. I'll be more faithful to pray. And I preached on that Wednesday night. Be more faithful in my giving. Be more faithful in my witness. I'm going to be more faithful. I'm going to take every opportunity to serve God. And then not only that, but be faithful. Oh, listen, you purpose of heart and faithful. You're going to be faithful. And just do this. You believe God. Not me. It's not me. When God showed Daniel the first dream, he came before them and he said this, there is a God. I can't do this. They can't do that. But there's a God in heaven, a God in heaven. I believe God. I believe God can do anything, don't you? I believe God's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. He can save you this morning. I believe God can restore. You've been out of fellowship so long, your heart's so cold, you don't think you'll ever get back the joy. God give you 10 times the joy you used to have if you just get right with him. There are folks that have been out of church a long time, even prior to COVID and since COVID. But if you'd get back to the house of God, be faithful. God's going to bless you. You'll have 10 times the joy, 10 times the power, 10 times the peace if you just get right with the Lord. I believe God. I'm going to just trust him. When everything else is falling apart, if the foundations be destroyed, the Bible said, if everything you believed in today collapses, if they destroy all of our energy grids across this nation, we have no power. If things happen and we are invaded before dark tonight and by massive armies and nuclear attack or whatever, what are you going to do? If all the foundations be destroyed, you have to be like Daniel. You have to believe God. You got to just trust him. You believe God. You're going to trust him. Regardless of what happens, good time, bad time, sickness, or health, whatever it is, you're going to trust God. I'm going to believe in God because he makes this statement that he loved me and he saved me and he's prepared a place for me. And I know one thing, when I leave this world, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live there for all eternity. And everything you've worried about, everything I've worried about, everything that's given you an ulcer or a heart problem or anything else, tension, all of that will be over with. You just trust God. We're looking beyond all of this. We're going to believe God. Let's bow together for prayer this morning. We'll go through the book of Daniel, maybe a little different than you've ever gone through before, but God help us, I pray you will, that we'll draw life lessons and that we'll be blessed and it'll be something very practical. A purpose of heart, not just in his head. He didn't say, I think it'd be a good thing. I think I'm going to be more faithful to the house of God. But it was a heart commitment. It was something he made in his heart between him and God. He purposed. God gave him the power to keep that promise. I make promises or make commitments because of my mind that I'm going to do. Going to do this, going to do that, going to do the other. But sometimes I don't get those things done. But when you make a commitment, when you make a purpose of heart, you invoke the power of a holy God. God, by your grace and your power, I'm going to do this. Purpose of heart. They sought every way in the world to find some way to charge Daniel, but they couldn't. They said he was faithful and without fault. I want to be faithful to the house of God, faithful to the things of God, faithful. And then it said he believed in his God. I want to believe God, trust God all the way through. Maybe you've been praying about a church home. First Sunday of the new year would be a great time to make that commitment to be a part of Benson Grove Baptist Church. Maybe you're not saved and you want to trust Christ. What a wonderful way to start the new year by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. Right now, right where you are in the media audience or in this building, would you call on him? Would you ask him to forgive you of your sin? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him right now. Ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you of all of your sin. This morning, if you're a Christian and you're a member of this church, would you purpose in heart to love Him, live for Him, do more for Him this year? Would you do that as a commitment out of your heart with the help of the Holy Ghost? Would you do that? To be more faithful and to believe in God more deeply? You may want to this morning on the first Sunday of the new year to slip around this altar somewhere and make those commitments known to the Lord. Ask Him to help you find the real joy of worship and service. This year be a wonderful time to reach souls for Christ, to grow in the Lord. Maybe again, if you're looking for a church home, you know this is where God wants you. This morning would be a good morning to do that. If you're not saved, would you let us pray with you? There's some good men who'd pray with the men, ladies who'd pray with the ladies, and we'll help you to know Christ. But you can call on them right now where you are, right now, and ask Him to save you.